Let us now turn to a more quantitative description of what is the bond evolution in time and what is the swap price evolution in time. In fact, we could use the same methods that have been introduced in the previous chapter. We could use from either analytical method, finite difference method, or Monte Carlo method to describe exactly these prices. To teach you another method, which is in fact more robust than all three and quite easy to generalize, I chose here to introduce the finite element method. The advantage essentially is that it does not suffer from the numerical instability which exists in the finite difference method. It converges very much more quickly than the random sampling from the Monte Carlo schemes, at least this when you have less than two random driving factors. And it is quite easy to generalize to more complicated products such as the American options, which cannot be dealt with analytically, at least not exactly. So this to advertise the use of the finite element method for solving here the Vasicek equation. Since the underlying bond prices have a normal distribution of the increments, it is not really useful to renormalize the Vasicek equation in the way we did renormalize the Black-Scholes equation before solving it. And therefore, we start right away with the Vasicek equation and, in the spirit of finite elements, multiply this equation by an arbitrary test function. Integrate the whole equation over the domain of interest where the solution is sought and formulate a variational principle that has to be valid whatever your choice is of a test function that is sufficiently regular. If you satisfy this condition, this variational principle, whatever the choice of the test function, then in fact you have exactly the same equivalent problem as the differential problem, except that now we have an integral problem to solve. You may think that this is making things only more complicated, but we'll see that in fact this is also good advantages. Following the general technique of finite elements, you can choose the test function in the same space of functions as the functions that will represent your solution. And this is the so-called Galerkin method for choosing your test function. And in this case, we will use linear finite elements. So we'll do a linear approximation of the solution on a certain number of grid points. So we'll introduce a mesh, and on this mesh, we'll decompose the solution into linear rooftop functions that looks essentially like the top of a roof, and is a linear element will be equal to one exactly on the point corresponding to this cell of the finite element, and will go down to zero on the neighboring grid points. So introducing these finite elements that are displayed in the figure, you can now choose the test function exactly in the same space. That means this test function will look like a linear element, and the equation will have to be satisfied whatever the choice of this linear element is. That means whatever grid point this element will reside on. Before you discretize, however, you need to integrate by parts because you still have a second derivative with respect to the interest rate. by integrating by parts, you get rid of the second derivative, so that now you can use only linear functions to do approximations. With a second derivative, the linear function will in fact translate into zero. So you cannot keep the second derivative, or you'll have to generalize the elements to higher order. So to make things simpler, integrate by parts the second term, which will produce a surface term that you can in fact neglect, because simply on the very large values of the discount function, the discount function will go to zero, and therefore the derivative as well, so you can neglect this term. And on the very low side of the interest rate, will in fact normalize the solution in an arbitrary way to unity, and therefore whatever you would include for this term will simply be overwritten by this choice of normalization later on. Having discretized the problem, you need to impose boundary conditions that will now normalize the function for the value of interest rates that are very small, and impose, for example, a Neumann condition on the very right side of the domain where the interest rates are very large. And also, you will need to impose an initial condition, but remember, in the case of bonds, this is very simple and can simply be assumed unity to begin the calculation. Now, you have to discretize also the time evolution. And this can be done using a simple backward difference for the first term, and then, without adding any cost later on to the calculation of the linear problem, you can use a partly implicit evaluation for the rest of the equation. This looks as if it would be very much more complicated and more expensive, but it actually isn't, and will provide quite a lot of flexibility when it comes to the calculation of your solution, adding the possibility to solve partly implicit equations.